today on Compassion Radio.
By 300 AD, just about 250 years later, the first emperor of Ethiopia, who was still in power at that time, declared that Ethiopia was going to be a Christian nation and was going to follow the word of Almighty God.
And we're talking more than 150 years before Constantine did the same thing in the Roman Empire.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, this is about 350 to 375 AD when this happens, and he appoints the first patriarch to the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, which has been in full function ever since that day in that country.
Well, hello, and welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this broadcast, we connect you with people both here in the United States and all over the world who live their lives in a missional way. Having access to God's Word is just something most Christians take for granted. I know I do. But what if you only had a few pages out of it to teach from, or no Bible at all? Here's Bram.
Well, Frank, the last program we talked about, what do you do when you have no Bible to work from? Well, the funny thing is, we've seen a lot of these pastors in China and other parts of the world where the Word of God is either forbidden, is limited access, or for other reasons, is just not in their hands. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit can do to bring the Word to life and literally reveal itself in special situations where the printed Word is not available. Which kind of begs the question, is the printed Word even necessary? Well, if God's Word was intended to be nothing but revelation, then that would make sense. You just go sit down and let God reveal Himself directly. But we know full well that God gives us responsibility for the things that are put in our hands. It's our stewardship that matters, and we have the Word of God in our hands. All around the world, there are people who have translated the Word of God from the original source languages into languages that can be accessible to native speakers. And that's especially true in the 21st century. The problem is getting that gift into the hands of those who can now wield it. So imagine the wonder, the miracle of people being able to receive the printed Word of God in ways that reveal Himself in many places. In people's dining rooms as they read the Word of God after dinner, as pastors study for the Sunday morning sermon they're going to preach. It doesn't limit the power of the Holy Spirit, it multiplies it, because the Word is now present in so many ways and in so many hearts and minds. So the people that are receiving these new gifts of the Word of God that we are especially focused on during this month, they do not take the Word of God for granted, and neither should we.
Here's Bram with part three of his conversation with Pastor Brian Grisham.
Now, we've learned, Brian, talking with every Bible partner we've had around the world, how incredibly important and effective it is to get the Word of God into a heart language, which means the one that's most natively spoken from the time you can babble the word mama is the one that goes into your heart. It's just the first thing your brain locks into. And that learning multiple languages is incredibly useful, but the heart language is the one you pray to God with.
Yes.
It's the one that emotes and doesn't just think. And we know that our faith is a very emotional and involved and rational faith, but it also demands of us a huge investment of our person. And often a second or third language doesn't have quite the same depth of emotion that our heart language does.
Correct.
So you're saying that this language, these Tigrinyan speakers in the north part of Ethiopia, come to this by way of the language handed down from mothers and fathers to children over many centuries.
Exactly.
And it was the heart language of these tribes. It was and a pastiche and kind of a mixed mash of many other previous languages, not unlike Western Europe.
Correct.
So as they do that, they evolve out of what might have once been very useful to them in spreading the gospel. And now they're naked again in the world.
Yeah.
So the idea of being a people group that has been de-reached is an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're talking about this reality, 1,500-year gap, an unreached people now, requiring us to actually get the Word of God to them in their heart language again. So your pastor friend took on this task. Tell me what happened.
He did, along with three other clergymen that were very seasoned and experienced and highly trained. They went through the arduous process day and night for 10 straight years.
Wow.
Four guys in a room that's probably no larger than the office I'm in or the one that you're sitting in. They eventually got the translation finished. It was completed about 3 years ago. The New Testament came first, and it was completed about 7 years ago. And then they turned to the Old Testament, and it was completed about 3 years ago. So now the process has moved on to trying to secure funding and support to have the Bibles actually printed and then distributed to this people group. There are about 120,000 pastors that serve in this area. They are assigned...
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
In this part of Ethiopia, we think about there being 6 million people, maybe the size of South Carolina or something. You don't think about there being tens or hundreds of thousands of pastors that are already leading congregations that may not be all that in-depth in the Word, but they're there, like a latent army waiting for you to arm them.
Absolutely.
You're saying that that one people group has that many people in it that are worshipers?
They do. They're an extremely religious group. When we first learn about Ethiopia, that story in the New Testament with Philip and the Ethiopian that was traveling back mm-hmm. from Jerusalem, and he came on back to Ethiopia after that encounter. He learned that the scripture was about Jesus, and he learned about salvation. He was subsequently baptized on the road there and then came on back and began to spread it. Well, by 300 AD, just about 250 years later, the first emperor of Ethiopia, who was still in power at that time, declared that Ethiopia was going to be a Christian nation and was going to follow the word of Almighty God.
And we're talking more than 150 years before Constantine did the same thing in the Roman Empire.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, this is about 350 to 375 AD when this happens, and he appoints the first patriarch to the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, which has been in full function ever since that day in that country. There's never been a time where it was taken out of functionality. The problem has been that the tribal nature of this country and many other countries, as we've already said, the communication and the language, it morphs over time. It changes. Mm-hmm. And so there is a tremendous core passion and devotion in the hearts of the people to love God and to serve God and to relate to God. But because their languages have morphed and the translations in those heart languages have not kept up with the metamorphosis of the languages themselves, they're left without the best tool that any of us have to know how to connect to God, and that is His Word.
Mm-hmm. Or to preach from it effectively, with words that mean something to the people you're saying them to.
Absolutely.
If we were stuck having to speak every day in King Jamesese,
right,
we would be able to read the King James Version without much difficulty. Now, most modern readers have a difficult time with the original King James. It's had to be modernized. Even that one, at the gold standard of language in English was the King James Bible.
Correct.
And yet, it still has to be put to the test to see, are people comprehending what it says?
Yes.
And hence we have this wealth of translations that try to make it more perfect for communicating, not perfect in its substance, but perfectly suited to reach the people of each generation. So we have many, many translations in English. Now, even looking back on letters that are written to our grandfathers and grandmothers might seem very archaic and strange to us if we would read the way they wrote to each other even 50 years ago.
Yes.
You have to have a cultural interpreter.
Yeah, right.
So now they've taken on this task. My guess is that your pastor friends are taking on the task not just of learning how to make English sound better in their language, but to learn the heart language of the authors of the Word of God, too, which means they have to go deeply into understanding the languages from which they are translating, which includes the Septuagint Greek, the Latin Vulgate, and the Aramaic, and the Street Greek, and things that were written in the epistles, and getting familiarized with them directly from that language to their heart language and not having to go through many intermediaries, which can muddle things.
That's right.
But they got it done.
They got it done, and they did utilize all of those resources that you just articulated. I went not every year, but every so often I would go and see them in process just to encourage and to see where things were. And they would have every resource you can imagine strewn out all over the office so that they could extrapolate what was the original intent of the author. Obviously, God is the author through the Holy Spirit, but He inspired men to write it down. And culturally, grammatically, what was the original intent that God was trying to say to His people through the writers of the Bible at that time? And how do we preserve that original intent into our heart language?
Yeah, and they did a great job at it from what I've heard. Now, let's move on to the application of that. You mentioned earlier that there are 120,000 pastors in a old, ancient denomination doing their very best to serve God with the knowledge they have. And now this effort's been taken to bring revival to the people and the pastors through a revision and a freshening of the communication, the voice of the entire Testament of Scripture. It's now available to them. And you've had the personal privilege of seeing what happens when pastors encounter this fresh Bible. Tell me about that.
It's been such a powerful experience, Bram, and I just returned with a team from our church here several weeks ago. Among the other many things that we were able to be a part of in ministry there, we were able to go visit one particular church that had been in existence for 1,600 years.
One church.
One church. It was hewn out of a rock, a massive rock in the side of a mountain. They didn't have building materials maybe like we would think of to build a building. And so they took what they had
and took it out.
They cut away everything that wasn't a part of their church. And what was left was this rock church that's literally 1,600 years old.
Wow.
Laid out very much like the instructions that are given in the Old Testament about how the tabernacle was to be laid out. So we know that they were following those writings from the Old Testament that Ethiopian brought back in order to construct the church.
A stone tabernacle.
Yeah. Serving in that church was a pastor who was 70 years old, and he had been serving the church since he was 15. So 55 years, which is about our age, me and you. Imagine going your entire life attempting to be a pastor, being responsible for the spiritual nature of those congregation members that are coming, but you don't have the textbook. You don't have the Bible. You're going on your memory of what you were taught by your mentors, maybe by other seasoned family members of the faith, and you're trying to remember all that and regurgitate all that and help people understand it. It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
And we were able to present to him in that church, in the midst of that structure that was his church, a full copy, Old Testament and New, of the Bible in the Tigrinyan language, which is his heart language. And it was one of the most powerful ministry experiences, I suppose, that I've ever been a part of. Because the core of everything that is kingdom comes from acting out the Word. And if you don't have access to the Word of God in a language that you fully understand and can process, then you're never going to fully be able to accomplish the kingdom work that the Bible's talking about. And so now that these pastors are beginning to get their copy, there are about 60,000 pastors who have received a copy already.
So
about halfway there, our church recently did a campaign which generated funding for another 20,000 Bibles to be printed. So
okay, full stop there, friend.
Full stop.
120,000 pastors. Now, again, these are just the leads of each of these congregations. We're not talking about every believer in northern Ethiopia. We are talking about the people that serve them.
Correct.
So at least them receiving a Bible is halfway there. Now, we have the same experience in other parts of the world where our focus is to get the influencers, the people that are serving the most, the best quality copies of the Word of God we can as soon as possible. And the church, of course, exponentially explodes when the Word of God gets loose like that, especially when it's in good hands, people that respect it and can teach well from it and understand what the real meaning is and don't get confused by it, and help others to grow up and mature in their faith. It's a marvelous thing.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Up next, more great insight on what it means to truly love God's people.
Friends, I can't believe that this year has gone by so fast. You probably feel the same way. And suddenly, we find ourselves in the heart of our annual Bibles for China project. I know that many of you have looked forward to that all year, excited to make another major kingdom impact on the world through your year-end giving. Great news on that front. Our dear friend John Podiety and the folks at Bibles for the World were so encouraged by your response last year that they have joyfully asked us to partner with them again in 2019. Their willingness and enthusiasm are a high compliment to your faithful action, and it's a major endorsement of the evangelistic partnership model that we've pioneered almost three decades ago. When you gave to our 2018 Bibles for China campaign, you helped deliver tens of thousands of new study Bibles and Gospels of John to hundreds of churches across three regions of China. Sandy and I were there to witness it ourselves, and I cannot tell you how much it moved me to see your generosity at work building the kingdom. Will you do it again this year? Between now and the end of 2019, our goal is to reach new regions of China with at least 200,000 copies of God's Word in the form of full study Bibles, New Testaments, and Gospels of John being given by young believers to folks who have never once heard the story of God's love for them. Your gift of as little as $25 or even $50 can spread the gospel to tens or even hundreds of people. So please take this opportunity, starting today, to make your gift and to let others know that they, too, can make a major impact on world Christianity through their Compassion Radio giving this year. Here's Frank to tell you more about how you can do that right now.
Call 800-868-2478 or go to CompassionRadio.com. Or you can write P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And last but not least, you can text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And thank you so very much.
Peace, peace, it's hard to find. Trouble comes like a wrecking ball to your peace of mind. And all that worry you can't leave behind you. All your hopes and fears, and all your hopes and fears, oh, all your hopes and fears are met in Him tonight. Peace, peace, it's hard to find. Doubt comes like a tiny voice that's so unkind. And all your fears, they conspire to
to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Our church recently did a campaign which generated funding for another 20,000 Bibles to be printed. So,
okay, full stop there, friend.
Full stop.
120,000 pastors. Now, again, these are just the leads of each of these congregations. We're not talking about every believer in northern Ethiopia. We are talking about
Correct.
The people that serve them.
Correct.
So at least them receiving a Bible is halfway there. Now, we have the same experience in other parts of the world where our focus is to get the influencers, the people that are serving the most, the best quality copies of the Word of God we can as soon as possible. And the church, of course, exponentially explodes when the Word of God gets loose like that, especially when it's in good hands, people that respect
Yes.
it and can teach well from it and understand what the real meaning is and don't get confused by it, and help others to grow up and mature in their faith. It's a marvelous thing. Now, you are one church there in Shreveport, Louisiana, and you made the commitment to reach a good quarter of the entire population of North Ethiopia with the Word of God because of your giving locally, and you commended to your people the goal of raising up 20,000 Bibles to give this year. We're in the recent history here. That's a pretty impressive goal, especially when you talk about the cost involved. That's $100,000. You mentioned it was like $5 a Bible before. Your congregation
Yep.
committed to raise that much money for one project in that country?
They did, and the money was received in a 3-week time frame.
Wow.
That's how passionately they embraced the project. Now, bear in mind the name of our church, Word of God Ministry.
Here you go.
So clearly, clearly, anything that we can do that
advances
gets
the Word of
the
God.
Word out, it advances the Word. It goes to the very heartbeat of this congregation and ultimately to the pastor and his wife and their vision, which led them to start the ministry about 22 years ago. Bear in mind, you and I have been a part of churches that have been in existence for hundreds of years and have been actively involved in fulfilling the Great Commission for decades.
Agreed.
This is a church that has only had a strategic and formalized mission ministry for 3 years. This is not a church that was founded in, 1912 and has been growing and establishing a missional tone for over 100 years. This is a church that's really been just getting acclimated to this for the last 3 to 3.5 years. And now we see such overwhelming response to chip away at 60,000 left.
Right.
Now we're down to 40,000.
Yeah.
Because the campaign that we just concluded will get another 20,000.
And this sounds to me, Brian, very much like a New Testament kind of scenario, because a congregation gets so empowered and so inspired by the Holy Spirit and the stories and testimonies coming back from the front lines that they can't help but give their all. Now, the original church in Jerusalem, as far as we know, pretty much every one of the original apostles went somewhere. Some were killed early.
Correct.
Others lived very long lives, but all of them got sent out. When you have a church where everybody who's been inspired by the Holy Spirit moves to do something in the power of the Holy Spirit, there's no stopping it. The world's your oyster. And your congregation is treating it as if we are the only ones left standing on the planet. We will never stop. And I believe that's the kind of motivation that literally wells up as a wellspring within you because of the Holy Spirit. So again, I want to celebrate that as a testimony of God's work in you, because if God's working through you to do what he wants done, he's there and he's happy. I sense that the blessing is upon you for the season, and especially now that he's empowering you and giving you resources to tackle big things. I believe proportionally that same story can be told of every family, every individual, every congregation in this country. There are people hearing this program in pretty much all the lower 48 states and Alaska. They are hearing this story thinking, how could that light burn brightly where I am? What would your advice be to the individual who's just somebody who's going to church every Sunday trying to be faithful? What would you tell them right now is the key to seeing that kind of missionary revival happen where they are?
I think we just have to remind ourselves of the pattern that Jesus modeled for us when he was here. Everything about Jesus was trying to reach the unreachable, was loving the unlovable, and fellowshipping with the outcast. That was the foundation of his example of ministry and life. And yes, did he convey to us other things that are deeper? Absolutely. The term disciple, a follower of Christ, represents that deeper life that we can get to through prayer and worship and studying the Word. And certainly Jesus did prompt all of that, and he struck the original match. But when you look about his day-to-day ministry from place to place, he was interacting with those that the current culture had thrown to the curb. When we think about the world as a whole, by and large, a significant part of the world's population has been kicked to the curb.
Yes.
Metaphorically.
Or literally.
Or literally, absolutely. So many of them are in countries which are grossly substandard when it comes to healthcare and general nutrition and education. And so they are the outcasts. They would have been the ones that Jesus would have gone after headlong if they were around back then, because I think that's who he went after when he was on the earth modeling ministry for us.
And Jesus lives in the now, Brian, so we're talking about something he is doing. It's not something that we're
Correct.
Looking back on.
That's right.
You're engaging with God's eternal now through this kind of work, and I'm proud of you for
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
So we're encouraging those to step into that and where they are. So again, I ask you the question. Let's say there's one person who is like the only person from their congregation that's hearing this program right now. How do they become a spark and a light within their congregation to say, we could do more? Because God can raise up in us the ability to do more, and we can be part of this. How would they burn this thing into their hearts or allow God to do that to them so that it transforms or could transform their congregation over time?
I think you have to make the world small to people that are trying to get involved.
We'll hear more of this conversation tomorrow right here on Compassion Radio. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.